couple of places in the Word of God, and I want to share a couple passages of Scripture. There were a couple passages of Scripture this week that absolutely arrested my spirit. And as I began to pray this week and seek God, I believe the Lord spoke to me that there are two things that He wants to release into this body for 2017. Through this time of prayer and fasting, at the end of this time of prayer and fasting, God's going to release this into our church. I believe that. And what we're going to see is, in 2017, I really believe this. I said in my spirit back in December, the Lord spoke to me about 2017 be a year that we sow. We sow into the kingdom. And I really believe it's a year of sowing. But also, I believe this. I believe God's getting ready to release that I'm believing us as the church. And I really believe that in 2017 that I'm believing that God will give us more salvations and more folks won to the Lord than He has since the history of this church has started. And I'm believing that. I'm believing for a big harvest. I'm believing for a big harvest. How many know you got to be ready for a big harvest? And I'm believing that. I'm believing that God will release unto us and will release to us those that are bound, those that are lost, those that don't know Christ, that there's going to be a harvest that comes in to this church. But if God does that, we have to be ready to receive that type of harvest. We have to be ready to be able to do with the harvest what God gives us the harvest for. And so I really believe that. And the Lord spoke to me that it'll be a year when the reaper overtakes the sower. And that's scriptural, folks. It'll be the year as we sow, we will reap. And our reaping will overtake our sowing. How many know that's a good thing to be reaping while you're sowing? Amen? And so I believe that. And I believe in God to give us the city. And I believe a city can be won. And I'm believing that God will give it to us. But the Lord spoke something to me. And I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. The first one is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And I'm going to read you these two passages of Scripture, and then I'm going to share my heart and go into it. I have no idea where I'm going tonight. All I know is what the Lord spoke to me, and I'm just going to pull my ears back, pin my ears back, and just preach a little while to you. Is that all right? Can I just go ahead? I know it's Bible study night, but I'm just going to preach a few minutes because I'm the pastor and I can. So I'm just going to go ahead, all right? And hopefully you'll be all right with that. Is that all right? Okay? I'll try not to be too loud. All right? I'll try not to be too loud. Too loud. Too loud. Praise God. And 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, a very powerful scripture I read this week. It said, "Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker." Powerful verse of Scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Hold that spot and turn over to the book of Malachi, or Micah, M-I-C-A-H, Micah, not Malachi, Micah. Micah, a minor prophet. And there's a passage of Scripture there in chapter 2 and beginning in verse 13. I want to read that passage of Scripture. And verse 13, it says, "The one who breaks open will come up before them. The one who breaks open will come up before them, and they will break out. They will pass through the gate and go by it. Their king will pass before them, and the Lord, with the Lord as their head." With the Lord as their head. And Micah, Father, bless your word tonight. Help me to communicate, Lord, what you have spoken to my spirit. And we pray, Lord, that when we leave tonight, God, you would have deposited your purpose in each of our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I had an interesting experience today, and you know, I'm never beyond telling you a story. But it's funny when you fast how the Lord leads you. And it's funny that when you're fasting and praying and you allow the Lord to order your steps, it's amazing where God will take you. We had prayer this morning, and after prayer, I'd asked my daughter, I said, "Hey, let's me and you go and have a cup of coffee." And so me and my daughter, we went to a coffee shop I don't normally go to. Now, y'all know I love coffee. I love coffee. And so we went down to have just a cup of coffee, and I'm sitting there, and I don't ever go to this coffee shop. Matter of fact, I've been there maybe once or twice before, but it's been casual. It's not my usual regular where I hang out. And so we were there and talking, and we were just talking about spiritual things. And how many know it's good that when you got kids, it's good to talk spiritual things with your kids? Huh? Y'all hear me hearing what I'm saying? I mean, I know baseball's good, and I know it's good to talk about grades and all, and it's good to talk about who they're dating and all. But when you can sit and talk with your children about the Lord, those are precious moments in your life when you can pour the spiritual things of God into their life. So we're sitting there and we're talking about God, and we're talking about destiny, and we're talking about purpose. And all of a sudden, there was a gentleman that was sitting behind us, and he was two tables over. I guess he was eavesdropping on our conversation, but none of y'all had never done that, I'm sure. And never, never. And we were talking, and he turned to me, and he said, my daughter had gone up to use the restroom, and he turned to me and said, hey, he said, where do you go to church? And I said, well, I go to River Valley Community Church. He said, oh, is that right? I said, yeah. He said, I've heard some good things about that church. I said, yeah. I said, it's a wonderful church. I said, God is there. I said, we got a great pastor. No, I didn't. I didn't. I did not. No, I did not say that. I said, he asked me where I went to church. He said, I heard good things about that. And I asked him where he went, and he told me. And he had a stack of books that were there. And he told me, he said, I'm in seminary, and I'm doing my dissertation. I'm working on my doctorate. And he said, me and my wife moved to this area 3 years ago. Matter of fact, we moved into the area, and we became an associate pastor at a church that's local here in town. And I said, is that right? And he said, but once we got there for a year, he said, a hard thing happened. He said, I'd left the church. I had been there for 1 year. And he said, I had to leave the church because the people got upset at me about something I don't want to say, but he told me what it was. And he said, we had to leave. And he said, it devastated my wife. So we moved back to Madison because that's where she's from. And I found a job as an associate pastor at this church. And he said, when I got here, he said, I hadn't been here but a few months. And the pastor gets up on a Sunday morning and resigns and walks out the door and tells his church and tells his people that he's done with pastoring, that he's wore out, that he doesn't love his family anymore, he doesn't want to be with his wife anymore, that he's leaving. He walks out the back door, he gets in a car, he drives out west, and he leaves his whole family behind and leaves the church without a pastor. And he said, it just absolutely drained me. He said, I couldn't believe it. He said, and then a few weeks later, I get a call, and I've got a pastor friend of mine who calls me and says, hey, I wanted you to be the first to know. I know that we're friends, and I'm pastoring right now, but some things have happened in my church. I want you to know that I'm calling to let you know that I'm a homosexual. I'm resigning my church, and I'm going to go live with my partner, and I'm leaving my church. And I said, my Lord, I said, that's a bad couple months. He said, oh, it gets better. I said, better? That's better? And but anyway, he began to share with me his heart. And he's broken. His family's broken. His wife's hurting. He's a pastor that is struggling. He's not sure where God's leading him. He's been around a bunch of religious people that have hit him with the velvet brick of religion. Y'all know what the velvet brick of religion is? The velvet brick is they throw bricks at you, but the good thing is they put velvet around it. And so the impact is not as tough when they throw it at you. But he began to share his heart. And right there in that coffee shop, my heart just began to melt and break for that pastor and for that preacher. Because he said, my wife told me I don't ever want to go back into the ministry again. And he said, I've got this call of God on my life. I have no job. I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I'm in a place that is very difficult. And he said, I do not know how I am going to handle what is coming my way. He said, have you ever been there? I said, brother, have I ever? Do you got some time? And but we had a great conversation. And I talked with him. And all of a sudden, in the middle of that coffee shop, he just began to break down. And the Holy Spirit just began to work in his heart right there in that coffee shop. And he lives close. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you know, let's get together. I said, you know, I just want to be friends. I don't want you to come to my church. I just want to be your friend. And it literally broke my heart. He began to share with me a couple other instances that are in our city where pastors have had moral failures. What I didn't tell you is that he left that church. He went to another church here in town. And this week, that pastor's divorcing his wife right here in our city. And so the first church he was at, the pastor walks out and leaves, and leaves the ministry and leaves his family. He goes to another church, and this church, this pastor gives his wife a divorcement this week, and he resigns. And then he proceeds to tell me, did you hear about this pastor? And I said, no, I did not hear that. And all of a sudden, he's telling me about another pastor in our town that has had an affair and that he is leaving his church. And I thought to myself, and immediately the Spirit of God spoke to me and began to reveal to me that the devil does not like what God wants to do in the city. And the way that you get to the people of God is that you cut the spiritual authority off in the city. And when you cut the spiritual authority off, then the people have nowhere and no one to instruct them and no one to preach the gospel to them. I told him, I said, you know what it is when the enemy cuts the head off of the body? You know what that is, don't you? It's a freak. And what happens is when the head is sick and when the head's not right, then the body's not right. And what happens is that we got a bunch of spiritual freaks rocking around and churches that are struggling and all of this. And the Lord spoke to me. All of a sudden, what I've been praying all week, it hit me at what God was speaking to me through these two passages of Scripture. In the book of Malachi chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 13, the one who breaks open will come before them, and they will break out, pass through the gate, go out by it, and their king will pass before them, the Lord with their head. In other words, Malachi is prophesying that there is the breaker that is coming. There is someone who's coming that's going to be able to break the chains of bondage off of people. We call it the spirit of the breaker. And the spirit of the breaker is that which comes and begins to break off those things in people's life that bring limitation to their lives. He's talking about the spirit of the breaker. I believe that in these last days, I believe that what God wants to do through this time of fasting and prayer is that I believe God wants to put on this church the spirit of a breaker. In other words, the anointing that God wants to give us is an anointing to break off the chains and the limitations that have been on people's lives so that people like this pastor can get on with God and walk through and continue what God has for him and break off the things that have bound them and kept them from being free. I begin to think about the breaker's anointing. What does that mean? The limitations and strongholds that stand in the way of people from receiving the Lord. Listen, there are limitations that come into our life. Even good Christians walk with limitations around their life. They never ever get quite to the place where God wants them to be because they have these small things in their life that have been limitations to their life. They could be either small sins. They could be things of the heart. They could be things of dedication. They could be things that keep them from, it could be poverty. It could be sickness. It could be witchcraft. It could be sexual impurity. It could be pride. It could be fear. It could be confusion. All of these things are strongholds. But when you have the spirit of the breaker and the anointing of the breaker has the ability to break off those things that bring limitations to people's lives. And God wants to release the spirit of the breaker into our fellowship. I believe God wants to do that. I believe that God wants us to be able to pray for people and be able to minister to a generation and to break off the spirit of sickness, to break off poverty, to break off witchcraft, to break off sexual impurities, to break off pride and fear, break off apathy, break off these things that keep people from walking in the fullness that God has for them. And the truth is, it's not so much the people out there as it is some of us that is sitting in here. And God's going to release the spirit of the breaker. I believe it's going to be released in this house. I'm trusting that. How do you release the spirit of the breaker? First of all, you have to understand that you have to understand that there's a releasing, that there is an authority that we have to be breakers. If you turn to Colossians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 13, the Bible says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive, made us alive together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." Isn't that good news? You were forgiven of all your trespasses. All right, two of you are happy about that. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, He has taken it out of the way. Christ has taken it out of the way and has nailed it to the cross. He's taken your trespass. He's moved it out of the way. He's nailed it to the cross." Isn't that good news? You being dead in your trespasses, He's made you alive, having removed the handwriting, the requirements, and having forgiven all your trespasses. What did He do? He broke that off you. He broke it off you, off of you, and nailed it to the cross. "Having disarmed." Now listen, verse 15, this is it. This is what the spirit of the breaker does. This is how it's released. First of all, we have to understand that you being forgiven and you being forgiven of your trespasses, you, through the blood of Jesus, has disarmed principalities and powers, and He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. What is that saying? In other words, through the blood of Jesus, through your redemption, through your salvation, through your deliverance, through your freedom, you have the authority now to pull down principalities. You have the authority to pull down powers, for they do not have a right to have authority over you. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know there's a lot of times we let things remain in our life that really doesn't have the authority to be there? But what happens is we make agreements with the devil and we tolerate certain things in our life even though we know they're not supposed to be there. We find a certain comfort with allowing these certain things in our life. I'm here to tell you that God has given you the authority through the blood of Jesus that you stand blood washed, washed in His blood. There is a freedom that you can walk in, but there's an authority that you have to disarm the devil and every principality and power and work that he brings on your life. Hallelujah. That's good news. So you have authority. So how do we release the spirit of the breaker? Through fasting and prayer, the spirit of the breaker is through the Word of God to overcome spiritual resistance. And so that God's plan, spiritual resistance that come against the plan of God that is in your life. In other words, the Word of God, praying the Word of God is how you release the spirit of the breaker. I got to thinking about this and praying about it, and the Lord showed me. What is it about praying the Word of God? Now, remember how we were redeemed. We were redeemed through the blood of Jesus. So we already have authority. So the Holy Spirit helps me to understand that there are many scriptures, and in those scriptures, I can have an understanding, and I can begin to pray those scriptures. So in this time of fasting and prayer, when you pray, the way that you release the spirit of the breaker in the body is that you begin to pray the Word of God. You begin to pray the Word of God. You begin to release the Word of God. What does that do when you begin? Listen, it expands your ability to pray. When you begin to pray the Word of God, you stir up the spirit of prayer that is within you. according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. It's a passage we like to read about putting on the armor of God. How many know the believer should arm himself, should put on the armor of God? But if you look at that passage in Ephesians chapter 6, and at the end of that passage, and it says, when it says that we shall put on the whole armor of God and put that armor on, and beginning in verse, or the end of verse 12, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. That describes what we're battling. That describes what we're fighting. That describes what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to entangle the world. He's trying to entrap people. He's trying to put people in bondage. And we live a world now where no longer just the world is in bondage, but the church itself is living in levels of bondage. And so what does it affect? It affects the spirit that's in the body. It affects the atmosphere. It affects the ability for the church to minister. It affects the ability for the church to do the job that God has called the church to do. It affects our ability to aggressively go after spirits and principalities that have attacked people. When people are full and have been attacked by these spirits and powers and rulers and darkness and against these things that have taken up rulership. But in verse 13, it said, take up the whole armor of God. And he begins to list the whole armor of God. I'm not going to read it all to you, but you read down through there and you begin to see putting on the whole armor of God to stand in this evil day, to stand in the day when the enemy begins to try and wants to come and begin to attack. But look at verse 18. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What are we to put on last? The sword of the Spirit, right? We've armored ourselves. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. We've girded our loins with truth. We've shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we've taken up the shield of faith. And then it says, take on the sword of the Spirit, which is what it say? It is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and all the perseverances and supplication for all the saints. And for me that utter many given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. You hearing what it's saying? Put on the whole armor of God. But when you take up the sword of the Spirit, it says, then you begin to pray. And when you always pray with supplication, how? In the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all what? Perseverance and supplication for what? For all the saints. And then it says, for me, utterance may be given to me that I might open my mouth boldly. What's it saying? Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, so that when I pray and I begin to open my mouth, that the utterances of God will begin to come out of my mouth as I begin to pray. If you will begin to pray the Word of God will release the spirit of prayer that is in you. That's why there are times when if I'm praying and I struggle with my prayer life, you know what I'll do? If I'm struggling with my prayer life and trying to figure out words to say in my prayer life, I'll grab the Word and I'll turn to a psalm, or I'll turn to a proverb, or I'll turn to a passage, and I'll just begin to read it. And as I read it, I'll just be led of the Spirit to begin to pray what I read. Why? Because what are you doing? When you read the Word, you're releasing the spirit of the breaker into the atmosphere. And the Word of God is what breaks the yoke off of men's lives. See, the spirit of the breaker has nothing to do with you other than your obedience. The spirit of the breaker has to do with the Word of God. And when the Word of God is spoken, They're into the atmosphere when truth is spoken. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit does His job and the spirit of the breaker is released. And all of a sudden, because the Word of God, how many know the Word of God is true? How many know that it's not a mistake? There's nothing that is compromising in the Word. So when Jesus says that the sick can be healed, He means the sick can be healed. When He says that we can be free from our sins and bondages, He means we can be free from our sin and from our bondages. So how do we release the spirit of the breaker? There has to be a dedication to the prayer of the Word of God and a release of the preaching of the Word of God. I'm telling you, we need to get back to the Word of God being the center of our lives. I'm not talking about little. Listen, we become addicted to our own little phrases and all our own little gimmicks that we come up with and funny little phrases that we do in order to let people know, well, we're smart or we're this or we're that. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter if somebody who's got a sawdust head will get up and start reading the Word of God on a Sunday morning. It's the Word, and it has the ability to accomplish what it wants to accomplish. And the truth is, if we want to release the spirit of the breaker, we have to understand that it's the Word of God that'll do the job. And I'm believing God to do that. Praying the Word of God. Releasing the Word of God. Praying that the Word of God, so it stirs up prayer within our own life. Praying the Word of God causes you to pray. There are many different kinds of prayer in the Word of God. But all of a sudden, when the Word of God is preached, three things happen. And this is what the spirit of the breaker does. When the Word of God is preached, three things happen. The first thing that happens is all of a sudden, limitations. I don't know about y'all. I'm feeling pretty good tonight. But when the Word of God is released, first thing that begins to happen, God breaks off every limitation that's on people's lives. There's a breaking off of limitation. Why? Because the Word is the fullness of God's expression. So when the Word of God is preached in your life and there's a limitation, all of a sudden it breaks that limitation off. And if you receive the Word of God, if you'll receive it, all of a sudden, that limitation you had, all of a sudden, has to submit to the Word of God. It has to submit to it. All of a sudden, that limitation is broken off. Why? Because you receive truth. See, what happens is, when we begin to preach the Word, and we begin to preach on marriage, say, and we preach on marriage, when you hear the Word of God and what the Word of God says about marriage, and how the value of marriage and what marriage means, and you begin to preach that, and truth is exerted and called out, all of a sudden when that was received, whatever limitation you have in your marriage can be broken off your life if you'll receive the truth about that principle. I've seen people get financially free because they've got a revelation of the Word of God on giving. I've seen people get free from their sickness because they got a revelation on the Word of God, on His healing and His healing power in their life. And so the first thing is limitation. The second thing is that we get understanding. There's understanding that comes to our life. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says that when we pray, when we ask God, all of a sudden understanding comes to our life. People say, well, I don't know what to do. I know what to do. Get in the Word of God. Because the Word of God gives you understanding. It gives you understanding of your situation, understanding of what you're walking through, understanding of what's happening in your life, understanding of what God is doing in your life. And what happens is we have built so many things into the body of Christ that is contrary to God's Word because we've made them like idols in our life. And we build these religious things. We build these traditions. We build these things that we put in our lives. And what happens is we lose understanding when we begin to operate out of our own wisdom and out of our own understanding. We lose what God is doing. You want to release the breaker? You want to be broke free from your mindset? You want to be broke free from negativity? You want to be break free from how you think about certain things? You need to get understanding. And it comes from the Word of God. Once you receive understanding, then you get the will of God. Now I'm going to give you a big secret. Y'all ready for this? I'm going to tell you how to find the will of God. That means you don't have to come to me and say, Pastor, what's the will of God for my life? I'm going to tell you. Here's how you find it. The will of God is found in the Word of God. You hearing what I'm saying? And if you're coming to me asking what God's called you to do, I don't know. Get some understanding. When you get some understanding, then the limitations will be locked off. When the limitations are knocked off, then you're going to begin to understand God's Word. When you understand His Word, you'll know what His will is for your life. How do I know that? Because Ephesians 5:17 tells us. Corinthians 14:15 tells us. To get understanding is to know, is the release and the know of the will of God. I'm telling you, the third thing is that the purpose of God. Ephesians 5:17. Three things happen when you release the spirit of the breaker. There's limitations are brought off. You have understanding. And you know the will of God. And finally, the purpose of God is revealed for your life. When you know the purpose of something, when you have understanding of something, you'll know the purpose of it. And a lot of times we live our lives, we don't understand what God is teaching, or we don't know the purpose of what God has for something because we've never had revelation on it. We've never had understanding about it. But why does God say that? Why does God tell us to do that? I'll tell you why. Because God wants you to get understanding. When you get understanding, He'll reveal the will of God and the purpose of God for your life. The spirit of the breaker. You know, there are many passages in scriptures that talk about the spirit of the breaker. And I want to give you just a couple of them. I'm not going to read them. But I want to give you just a couple of them that the scripture talks about. And that God wants to use the spirit of the breaker in each of our lives. There's an incredible passage. It's in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 24. You don't have to turn there. But I'm going to read that to you. Isaiah chapter 14. In verse 24. And it's God, it's the prophecy that Isaiah gave to the children of Israel. And it says this in verse 24. It says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought, so it shall come to pass. As I have purposed, so it shall stand. Did we just not read something like that? God said, I'm getting ready to show you something. When you hear it and you hear the purpose of it, you'll be able to stand. When you know the purpose of something, you can stand. When you know I have understanding in the Word of God, you can stand. Look what it says in verse 25. And I will break the Assyrians in the land, and on my mountain tread them underfoot. And his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. Now here's what's interesting about that passage. The word Assyrian is an interesting word because it means to... It means to make stumble. It means to limit. It means to put a hold on. And when the children of Israel gave in to Babylon and gave in to idols and gave in to certain things in their life, what began to happen? The Assyrians began to be the bondage that was in their life. And God said this. God said, I'm going to send and I'm going to break off the spirit of the Assyrians that are on the children of Israel. I'm going to break that off of them. I'm going to break the yoke that comes with the Assyrians, with those who try to bring into bondage or who try to bond. Now here's what's interesting about this passage. This is somewhat a few hundred years before the children of Israel ever went into captivity. Here God is prophesying their deliverance even before they went into bondage. So what is it? It is a warning to them. God was giving them a warning. He said, listen, if you give in to the Assyrians, If you give in to the Babylonians, what's going to happen is you're going to end up, your life is going to end up in bondage. Let me tell you what the Word of God is to us. There are passages in the Word of God that becomes warnings to our life. There are things that maybe we have not walked through yet, but maybe we're getting ready to walk through. And if we have understanding, you hearing me? If you have understanding, then you'll know what the will of God is. God was trying to give the children of Israel a heads up. He was trying to let them know what His will is. If they will be obedient, He will break off the spirit of the land on their life. What does it say about us? That we live in a day and God's Word says, you be obedient to God's Word, He'll break off the spirit of the time, the area, the principality, the power, the ruler of this age. Why? Because God wants us to walk in freedom. He'll break the arm of the wicked, Psalms 10 and 15. He'll let the oppressor be broken into pieces, Psalm 72, 4. Let the horns of the wicked be broken, Daniel 8, 8. Let the kingdom of darkness be broken, Daniel 11, 4. Let the foundations of the wicked be broken, Ezekiel 34. Let the kingdom of Babylon be broken, Jeremiah 51, 58. Let the bows of the wicked be broken, Psalms 37, 14. Hallelujah. Break down every wall erected by the enemy against our life, Ezekiel 13, 14. I break every altar that is erected by the enemy against the life and against God's people in the life in the name of Jesus, Hosea 10, 2. In other words, all through Scripture, God has released the spirit of the breaker. And really all we have to do is get understanding in the Word of God. And God's Word will allow us to allow the spirit of the breaker to be in our lives. How many want the spirit of the breaker to be in your life? Hallelujah. Secondly tonight, and finally, the second passage, our first passage I read to you was over in Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. It's an interesting passage. It says, now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David grew stronger and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Huh. This is a passage that hit me this week as I was praying. And I thought to myself, God, what's that mean? What is the meaning of that? What does that mean? How does that apply to our lives? And so, not only does God want to release the spirit of the breaker in our fellowship, but I believe this. I believe God is going to equip us for battle and for war. He's going to give us the ability to walk long periods of time in spiritual warfare. To help people walk out their problems and walk out the bondages that are in their life. I believe God is going to give us the ability to carry out and to do spiritual warfare over our city and over people's lives. In other words, when people come in and they need a breakthrough in their life, God's going to allow some of you to have the anointing to walk them out and walk them through discipleship and walk them through a breakthrough and walk them through the period of restoration in their life. I told you Sunday that the church is the only place I know that does not have a plan for those who are wounded in battle. I began to think about this and I thought, Lord, what does this mean? What does this mean? And what it means is this, is that God's going to be able to, it said, as the house of David grew stronger and stronger, the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Here's one thing I've learned about spiritual warfare in my own life. The devil talks a big game. But I want to tell you that if you're persistent in the things of God, the enemy will get weaker and weaker, and you will get stronger and stronger. I believe we're going to be a church that as we do spiritual warfare and battle, and help people and begin to bind up the brokenhearted, begin to mend the wounds of the hurt, begin to feed the poor, begin to reach out to those that are lost and hurting, that as we do that and as we persevere, we're going to get stronger and stronger. And the enemy is going to get weaker and weaker. Why? Because God's going to put an anointing on us and on you. Listen, the body of Christ needs to learn how to persevere. We get so overwhelmed and overcome by small battles, we've not learned how to battle. We've not learned how to step into the place and begin to take authority over what the enemy wants to do. You know, when you read through Scripture and you see how Jesus dealt with demons, it's interesting. When Jesus at times would come up upon demons, those demons would be strong, like a stronghold. They wouldn't want to leave. They just would stand their ground. They would be resistance to the gospel, resistant to the Word of God. Then all of a sudden, Jesus would begin to deal with that demon. And the next thing you hear that demon saying is he tries to negotiate with Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you deal with demons and you deal with people that are struggling with spiritual warfare and they're battling oppressive spirits, you don't negotiate. You hear, we can't be a church that negotiates with the devil. Here's how it works out. When Jesus came across to Gerar, and he came in, and remember the man who in Gerar who was full of devils, and he was cutting himself, and he had a legion, he had a demon in him, which meant many. And it said that the Scripture tells us that the man got to the point to where he was going into caves trying to kill himself as he would scratch himself, killing. And those demons, there was a torment that was in those demons. And when Jesus got there, the first thing that demon wanted to do, it wanted to negotiate with Jesus. What did he say? He said, Lord, he said, don't let us leave. Don't let us, just cast us into those pigs. Just don't cast us out. You know, just don't let this man be free. We just don't deal. You know, just let us hang around. See, listen, we look sometimes. Okay. I got to quit. But listen, we look sometimes as people that are struggling with oppression or have demons or with drug addictions or with addictions in their life or with problems in their life or struggling mentally or struggling with whatever adversity that comes in their life. We think it's all about the person. Jesus was not just dealing with the person. He was dealing with the region. See, if Jesus would have cast those demons out of the man and put them in the pigs, the man would have been free, but the region wouldn't have been free. Why? Because they would have allowed to remain in Gerar. They would have allowed to stay there. They would have been allowed to remain there. They would have been allowed to set up camp. They would have been allowed to seek out someone else. They would have been allowed to take up root somewhere else. So it's not about just releasing the person. It's about releasing the region. It's about getting to the root of the problem, not just the problem. And the anointing that God wants to put on us is not only to deal with the person that's drug addicted, but speak to the spirit that rules over the city and not only deliver the one that's bound by the spirit, but deliver the city from the spirits. Huh? Why would Jesus? Because Jesus didn't want just the man to be free. He wanted to make sure that no one else would have to deal with that principality. And I'm believing in 2017 that God is not only going to allow us to deal with people that are struggling, that are hurting, that are walking through things, that are going through divorce and going through these things that I mentioned at the beginning. Listen, I believe God is going to allow us to address it, not just here, but in the city. Amen. Woo! So then the demon said, don't cast this out. Don't cast. Begin to beg. You see the process? The demon got weaker and weaker as Jesus got stronger and stronger. You know what that says to me? Don't give up. Don't quit on people. Don't quit on people. I know they're crazy. I know they're difficult to deal with. I know that you got to spend hours on the phone with them counseling. I know you got to go find them and pull them out of bars and pick them up out of place. I know that you got to do this and you got to do that. But let me tell you, if you hang in there, God will put a spirit on you that as that devil gets weaker, you're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And eventually, there's going to come breakthrough. I'm telling you, listen, we've not learned how to persevere with people. We give up on people too soon. I'm telling you, God wants to release the ability to deal. I want to close with this. Adam, would you come? And I want to pray for this. I love this story in 2 Kings 13. There's a lot going on in this. And I'll just give you a paraphrase. Hallelujah. Elisha is sick. And he's dealing. He comes to the king of Israel, Joash. And he comes to the king of Joash. The king of Joash came to Elisha as he was sick, and this is what he said. He said these words. He said, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And Elijah said to him, here's what the king of Joash did. Y'all remember when Elisha got the double portion from Elijah?
Yeah.
Guess what? He said those very same words to Elisha. And he asked for a double portion of Elijah's anointing. And Elisha did twice the miracles that Elijah did. Here Elisha's dying, and the king Joash comes to Elisha, and he wants Elisha to bless him. The problem is, Joash's life is a life of compromise. He had sin in his life. He really rejected Elisha most of his life as a king. He had wickedness in his life. But what Elisha wanted to do was, he really wanted the king to have a triple portion. I believe God wanted to release a triple portion into the king Joash's life. He came to him and said the very same words that Elisha said to Elijah. And what happened was, it teaches us something. When people come and say they want to serve God, the first thing we ought to do is prove that calling on their life. Problem is today we're just giving everybody a certificate of ordination. Well, I want to preach. Okay, here's your certificate. Go preach. That's not what Elisha did. You know what he did? He come and he said the very same thing that he said to Elijah. And what did Elisha do? He said, I'm going to prove you to find out whether or not you have it. So he said, take the bow and arrow. And he said, I want you to shoot that arrow of deliverance. He opened the window. He shot that arrow of deliverance. Then he said, I want you to take these arrows. And he said, I want you to smite them on the ground. Now, he just told him what that arrow represented. What did he say? It's what? The arrow of what? From the Assyrians. He said, the arrows that I give you are arrows of deliverance. He just explained to Elisha what the arrows represented. Then he tells Elisha, take the arrows and smite them on the ground. Now, if Elisha understood that those arrows were for deliverance, but what did he do? He took those arrows and he just tap, tap, tap. And Elisha said, because you just smote the ground three times, you'll only have three victories over the Assyrians. But had you smote it five or six times, you would have been delivered from them completely. In other words, he was addressing the apathy that was in Elisha's life, or in Joash's life. And so the Bible said that when Elisha died, he was buried. And what was he buried with? Y'all remember? he was buried with the anointing of God. Because later a man died and they lowered him down into the grave and the anointing of God raised that man from the dead after he was buried. Joash missed out on the anointing of God. Because he just went through the motions. He just tap, tap, tap. And I'm telling you, I think that's what the church just does. Sometimes we just tap, tap, tap. It's just through the motions. Just through the motions. But I believe what God wants to do is He wants to put the arrow of deliverance in our hand. And we need to be people that just don't tap, tap, tap. We need to break. We need to hit so hard that that arrow breaks. I mean, we need to... There needs to be. Listen, what was Elijah doing? He was proving what he said he was. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God wants to release into this body. During this time of fasting and prayer, God wants to put the spirit of the breaker on this church. And He wants to put a perseverance that's in us. Elisha knew that that king would not have perseverance to go after the Assyrians. He would have given up. Why? Because he didn't value the anointing of God. I don't want to devalue the anointing of God in my life. Stand with me tonight. I want to tell you, my heart's been broken all day. I'm telling you, just hearing the stories of these preachers in our city and in our town has broken my heart. It's broken my heart because you can't devalue the anointing of God. And I pray, listen, the Bible says that when someone who has fallen, we who are spiritual are to go to them. And when we go to them, we're to go to them in a spirit of humility and humbleness and restore them back with all humility. Why? And the Scripture says, lest ye fall. There has to be humility. And we've lost that ability to value the anointing of God. We've lost the value of what the church means. Oh God, help us. As we close tonight, just lift your hands and I want to pray this prayer quickly over you. Father, this moment I release the spirit of the breaker into this congregation. I pray the anointing of God would come upon the church and come upon us. Not in an arrogant way, but in a way, Lord, that we create an atmosphere in this church that when people walk into this room, the spirit of the breaker would come upon them and break them free from every bondage that holds them. Every mindset that keeps them captive. Every struggle, every fleshly struggle they have. And I pray the spirit of the breaker would come upon us. And the Bible said that the Lord is the one who led them out. And when God, you free them, you lead them out. They come in broken, but they leave free. They come in hurting, but they leave happy. They come in depressed and leave with joy. They come in sick and leave healed. They come in lost and leave saved. They come in hurting and leave with hope and leave with a sense of purpose in their life. Because you're releasing the spirit of the breaker into this house. And Lord, we pray that you'll give us the ability to war and battle, to persevere like David did. As he grew stronger, the house of Saul grew weaker. Give us the ability to walk people through their lives and give us the anointing, God. Give us the anointing to war, to battle, to pick up the sword of spirit, to pick up the armor of God, and to walk it out, find victory, keep persevering, keep hitting it until there's breakthrough. Keep praying for them till they're free. Keep believing God till they're free. Give us the arrows of deliverance and we'll hit it again and again and again and again until something happens. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to hit it. We're going to hit it until there's breakthrough. We're going to pray for people until they're free. We're going to believe God for them until they lose their last breath. We're going to be a people that stand strong and say, we will not give up on you. Hallelujah. We release this now into this body. We thank you, God, for the hope that we have in Christ and the joy that is in Jesus. As we leave here tonight, God, let us leave knowing, God, that you have released life into this body. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now just lift your hands and just begin to pray and just begin to ask God, God, give me the spirit of the breaker. Lord, give me the spirit of the breaker. Give me the spirit of the breaker. Give me the ability to war, God. Give me the ability to walk in battle. Give me the ability to remain and not grow weary and not grow weak and not grow. Let the word of God be my strength. Let it be my wisdom. Let it be my understanding. Lord, give me the strength to stand firm on my convictions and never give up. To stand firm on what I believe. Help me, Lord God. Begin to pray. Come on, church, begin to pray. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Now, one last thing. I want us to pray for the pastors that are in this city. I want us to pray for those men that have struggled and have fallen. Because I want to tell you, there's nothing more that breaks my heart now than to know that there's men of God carrying that burden of disappointment. I know what it's like to let one or two people down. I could only imagine what it's like to have to carry the burden that I've fallen into sin. Can we pray for them right now, Father? I speak to the heart of these men. Father, you said the call of God is beyond reproach. It's unrepented. And Lord, they can go sell cars, but God, you've called them to preach. They can go hide, but there's nowhere they can hide from you. First of all, Lord, I pray for the restoration of their soul and salvation. That God, you bring them back into the kingdom of God. You send some men to them that will help restore them. I pray for them. I pray, God, I pray you restore their marriages and their homes. I pray you break off that spirit. I pray for that pastor that called his friend and said, I'm in homosexual. I break that spirit off of him right now. I call him home to his wife. Home to the covenant woman that God gave him. I call them back now. I call them back to the altar of God. Back through repentance. I pray the Holy Ghost goes and finds them and gets them. Brings them back, Lord God. We pray for complete restoration in these men's lives. I pray for that young pastor I talked to today whose heart is hurting. I pray for his wife who's been wounded and hurt. And I pray for his family. I pray, God, you'll comfort him even right now. You'll touch him, Lord. You'll minister to him. You'll speak to his heart, oh God. We pray for every pastor in this city, every church, Lord. I pray the fire of God would come upon every church in this city. Revival would break out. There'd be a release of the power of the Holy Spirit into the lives of God's people. And we stand on it, God. We believe it. We persevere through it. We speak to the devil. You have no authority. For we are ambassadors of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for our freedom. We speak life now in Jesus' name. Amen. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you give the Lord a clap offering tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. I know I went a couple minutes over, but y'all forgive me, right? All right. Would you hug about 200 people's neck before you leave tonight? Tell them that you love them. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning. Hey, happy anniversary to Rick and Lisa. They celebrate 34 years, right? 32 years. 32 years of marriage. Lisa deserves it. I saw their picture on Facebook today. I thought, man, I'm telling you, you must have courted her in the dark. he chased her all over town. He had that 1970.